Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. This week marks the 100th podcast, and while the coffee brews, seems like a good time to think about what's gone on these past 100 weeks. On the home front, the companion animal scene has shifted. William Bird, a.k.a. Billy the Canary, died after living a long and musically sweet life. So did Whittington, the cat. He wasn't quite as musical, but he certainly had a lot of talent. BB the brain-damaged corgi is no longer with us either. On the other hand, Fricka has come to full maturity and become even a better dog than she was when she was younger, if that could even be possible. Her son Ollie's now two, a fully mature male, who daily makes me laugh and gives a certain amount of credence to the old belief that it takes males longer to mature than females. The goldfish, 5 of them, still share the 55-gallon tank. The wildlife population around the house has changed in the past 100 weeks, too. I still have lots of songbirds, but because there was so much rain during the past 2 summers, the woods have really crept in close to the house. And because of this, the birds and the small critters have plenty of safe places with reliable natural food supply around me. I know they're there, I hear them, I see the flash of the red cardinal, the flash of the golden eastern oriole, the blue bunting, the blue jays, hear the catbirds. More bears around, more moose, more fishers. Feral cats are undoubtedly still there, but I never see them. They're more like atmosphere, I know they're there somewhere. Same with the raccoons and the skunks. Because of the change, at least in the microclimate around here, I gave up on growing vegetables this year and have turned all my attention to flowers, and it's been much more rewarding. Relative to my work, I still have yet to find the time to write fiction, much as I would love to. And I still am blessed with the absolute best clients and patients anyone could hope for. In the past 100 weeks, even though I didn't think it was possible, the average companion animal owner's life has become more complex. And I truly, truly value working with those people who are committed enough to their animals and to their animals' health and behavior and a solid relationship with those animals that they can find the time and the energy to make the necessary changes. Within that companion animal population, the trend that began more than 100 weeks ago continues. The purebred animals, by virtue of breeding practices, experience less genetic diversity, the result of which might make them less able to cope with the increased complexity of their owners' lives. On the other extreme, we see the street animals, the ferals or the quasi-ferals, who are coming from a different place. They think differently. They learn differently. And just because we think that we're going to save them, that doesn't necessarily mean that we can. In the realm of training and behavior, in the past 100 weeks, training hasn't changed. It's still focused on reward or punishment. In the realm of behavior, though, studies in animal cognition, communication, learning, emotion are increasing. They may not carry that much weight here in the United States, but in other countries, they do. And to see the changes and to learn how much more alike we are has been a particular joy to me. Also within the realms of animal health and behavior, the human-animal bond, problem-oriented approach persists. With each passing week, I tell myself that we will become so problem-oriented, so specialized, that ultimately the law of diminishing returns will begin to set in. And perhaps what is going to lead us more swiftly in that direction is, of all things, the recession. The reality is, and always has been, that prevention is cheaper than treatment. Problem with prevention is that it's boring. It takes time. It takes commitment. And when we're so busy, and we have the money to treat just the problem, to eliminate the symptoms, so that we don't have to worry about the cause, everything works well. But when we lose our jobs, or when our income wasn't quite as much as it used to be, and yet our expenses are the same or keep rising, now all of a sudden, prevention makes sense. That's another good change. So all in all, in the past 100 weeks, things have progressed in some areas and they've stayed the same in others, and in others they've probably gone backwards a bit. But I remain optimistic because I am an optimist. For me, the past 100 weeks have been good. When I look back on it now, I can't think of anything that is more beneficial to my work with animals and their owners, and my studies of the human-animal bond as it relates to us as companion animal owners, and as it relates to our relationship with wildlife. I can't think of anything that has better prepared me to deal with this than getting older. Looking forward to another 100 weeks, this is Myrna Milani signing off from the little house on the hill where she just stumbled over her cat and is now about to get a cup of coffee.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore, by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.